Hallelujah. I mean, I just remember the day. Some people, you know, I'm listening today to somebody who's talking about, you know, that some people, you know, they're not sure whether people are saved or not, or whether they, just because they said a prayer, they saved, and all of those kind of things. And I said, all I know is that when I prayed it, I got it. Right? Because when I gave my heart to the Lord, He came in, and He's been there ever since, and He's going to continue to stay there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking on Wednesday night about the Lord's Prayer, and we want to go into that a little bit deeper in one particular portion of it that I think we all can relate to, that we've all struggled with. And yet, tonight I just want to go over how important it is, but how vital it is that we get a hold of this. And again, in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll go directly to verse 12. And that's going to be the concentration of the next few minutes in the Word. How many like the Word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's even able to divide the soul and the spirit, and to separate the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. Glory to God. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your Word. We just ask You to let it slay our hearts, God, and open us up to You. Lord, we just yield to You completely tonight. Whatever You speak to us, Father, that's what we want to do. That's what we plan to do. And we'll just be careful to give You all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 says this, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We all like the first part. Lord, I need You. I need Your mercy, God. I want Your mercy. But the second part, as we forgive our debtors. In other words, it's like a scale. It's saying, this is how you pray. Lord, forgive us as we forgive them. Right? It's in the balance. In fact, this is not in my notes, but go to Mark 11 real quick. Hold your place there, because we'll come right back. But in Mark 11, and if you heard me preach at all, you've heard me preach out of Mark 11 a lot, talking about faith. You know, if you have faith, you can move a mountain. You can say into this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, not doubt in your heart, but the things that you sayeth, believe the things you sayeth will come to pass, you'll surely have them. But look at verse 25, Mark 11, 25. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," anything against anyone. Let me read that again. Anything against anyone. So it's the little things and the big things. The people you like, the people you don't like, right? Those that done you right, those that done you wrong. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now look at this next verse. If you want motivation for forgiving, this is it. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." I don't know about you, but I need a lot of forgiveness. And I found that I need forgiveness continually, right? Because I'm not always perfect. I don't always do things right. I fail. But he said here, look at it, if you want to be forgiven, then you have to forgive. But if you choose not to forgive, right? So one of the motivations, I don't think it's the number one, but one of the motivations is, I need forgiveness, I'm going to forgive. I don't want God to hold anything against me. But my first and primary motivation for forgiving is because He said to. It's really that simple. He said to forgive, so that's my motivation for doing it. Because if He's my Lord and He's my Savior and He's done so much for me, right? Again, I've told you that the day that I got saved and I had an experience with God, that I, even as I close my eyes, I'm still right back there because it was so powerful to me. And if God showed His love to me that much, then the least I can do is do what He wants me to do. Right? And if He says forgive, I'm going to forgive. But a motivator, if that didn't work, if that's not enough, you go, wait a minute. You're saying, Lord, if I don't forgive, then You won't forgive me? Oh, man, that's too high a price to pay. I want to be forgiven. Now, again, I'm going to go to some scripture I didn't write in my notes, so the guys will have to find them. But go to Psalm 51, and let's look at this, because here's what we're risking if forgiveness is not applied. Hallelujah. If God doesn't give us forgiveness, it's a terrible cost that we have to endure. It's a price that I don't want to endure, and I need His forgiveness. I need His mercy. I need His love. Amen? Look at this. And again, this is David, and he's crying out to God. In his first verse, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Your loving kindness and according to the multitude of Your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Have mercy on me, God." What's he saying? Forgive me. Forgive me. I need Your forgiveness, God. But I need it according to Your mercy. Right? And according to Your loving kindness. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, I want to just show you here that if this is the way we want to be forgiven, that's the motivation or the depth that we should be willing to forgive others. Think about this. You remember when Stephen was being stoned and he said the same thing that Jesus said? He said, "Father, forgive them. Don't lay this sin against their charge." Because he understood the cost of being unforgiven. And he didn't want that cost to have to be paid even by the ones who are throwing rocks at him. Right? But watch, it's so powerful. Let's go on here. He said, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against You and You only have I sinned and done this evil in Your sight, that You may be found just when You speak and blameless when You judge." Let me just give this caveat that I am not in a position to judge You because I'm not in the place of perfection. So in forgiveness, and when I'm looking at somebody else and maybe my perception of what they've done, whether it be real or not real, I'm really not qualified to judge them of the offense. Right? So that's a motivation to go, "Well, I just think I'll leave that with God." That's God's deal. Verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and my sin, and in my sin my mother conceived me. Behold, You desire truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden parts You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that You have broken may rejoice. Hide Your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Now watch this. In the next part he goes, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Now here's I said all that to get to this place. We need God's forgiveness because of this. Now listen to this. "Do not cast me away from Your presence, and do not take Your Holy Spirit from me." Listen to that, and listen to the motivation and say, listen, if He doesn't forgive me, then I'm not qualified to be in His presence. Do you understand? If His mercy and His love isn't toward me at any point, then I am disqualified from being in His presence. And if I haven't gotten the renewal of the Holy Spirit by the forgiving of sins that God has done unto me, then I can't be with Him. So when we say, you know, it seems a little bit, you know, try, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive. Well, yeah, I understand, but He's God, I'm not. And so, what's the big, it's huge. It's huge. And when we get to that place, and I believe that's why Jesus put it in the prayer, because He said, this is a big deal. And He said, to forgive our trespasses or our debts as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Right? We need to be in the place where we're doing that. But we have to define what forgiveness is, because I think that's where confusion comes in. So I'm going to list a few things that forgiveness is not, and then I'll list some things that forgiveness is. Let's read one more scripture before we go there. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a verse over the years that has slayed me. And in many ways, because as I read these things, I go, really? Really, God? He said, verse 32 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, he said, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay, I'm good with that. Even as God in Christ forgave you. So in other words, just as He forgave me, I need to forgive Him. But this puts it at a different level. It's like, love one another as I've loved you. That puts it on a different level. In other words, I'm supposed to do it at the same level, with the same commitment and the same pursuit that Jesus did it in the same power, in the same circumstances. Just as He did it, I do it. So just as He forgave me, I'm going to forgive you. Watch this. I can't do that in my natural strength. It's only a recreated spirit that's born of the Spirit of God, that has the love of God on the inside of them, that's capable of doing this. So what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is the fact that you have the ability to forgive. So don't ever let come out of your mouth ever, 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 ever again, I just can't forgive them. You can, but it's a matter of will you or won't you. And what I'm telling you tonight is the price for not doing it is too high. And when you look at it again, the motivation from the standpoint, God, I just love you and I want you proud of me. I want to do whatever you ask me to do. You're my Lord. Whatever you say, even if I don't like it, even if I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it because I love you. That's the primary motivation. But the second is, if I don't, you won't. And nobody wants that. So let me list these things. What forgiveness is not, and I'll comment a little bit on them as we go through. Forgiveness is not approval of what the person did. In other words, you're not saying, well, you know, I forgive you. It was no big deal. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, and we're going to go through these, but it's like, I'm not approving of what you did. I'm not saying to you that what you did was okay. See, because if that's the motivation, then that can bring us to the place where that wasn't okay. I can't forgive. That was not okay. What she said about me, what he did to me, what my dad, what my grandparent, what that teacher did, that was not okay. When you say, I forgive you, it's not saying I approve of what you did. Okay? That's not a forgiveness. Forgiveness is not excusing what they did. Right? It's not saying, okay, I forgive you, so therefore what you did was okay. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not justifying what they did. It's not saying, well, it's okay. You didn't mean to, whatever. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not pardoning what they did. In other words, you're offering forgiveness to somebody is not saying that they should necessarily be free of the punishment. You're just saying, I'm not the one to dole it out. Again, I'll tell you the story, and it so fits. If I say the name Gary Ridgway, does everybody know who that was? The Green River Killer, right? And he committed all of these murders against many, 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 many women over the years. And I remember at one point in his trial, after he was found guilty, and at the sentencing, the victims were able to speak to him and to the judge. And so one after another got up and talked about how that he had stolen from them the life of this precious, and just with hatred and vitriol, and you could just see the angst. And some of them, the people have been dead 20 years, right? But just that anger in their voice. And then I remember this man, he got up, and he was kind of remarkable. He had bib overalls, he had white long hair, and kind of a beard and the whole thing going on. And there was joy in him. You could just see the joy. And he says something to this Gary Ridgway. I don't approve of what you did, and what you did was wrong. But I forgive you because Jesus has forgiven me. The difference is they were held captive by trying to be a judge, where he left the judgment up to the court and up to the court in heaven. He's not the one that was in the position that he had to approve of it, he didn't have to excuse it, he didn't have to justify it, and he wasn't pardoning it, right? Watch this. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. What do I mean by that? Well, if I forgive them, then I have to let them back in my life. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Here's the thing, it's really interesting that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. But just because you forgive somebody does not mean that you trust them. How many parents over the years have had kids get wrapped up into drugs, and because of that addiction, they stole from them, they've done this and they've done that, and over again, they've just, you know, made their lives living hell, right? And they think, well, if I forgive you, then I need to let you back in the house. I need to have you over again. Well, that's silly, right? I forgive you, and I'm not going to judge you. I don't approve of what you did. I'm not justifying what you did, but I'm going to release you to God's judgment. But that doesn't mean that you have the same status that you had, because that trust was broken. You're going to have to do some things to regain that trust before I could ever allow that trust to be. And so forgiveness, or the lack of trust, is not necessarily an indication that you haven't forgiven. It just means that you've set some boundaries. Okay, forgiveness is not denying what they did. Forgiveness is not saying, well, I guess it wasn't that bad. It's not denial. That's not forgiveness. Blindness to what happened. I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. That's not forgiveness. That's blindness. Right? That's not forgiveness. Now, this is a biggie. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Now, here's this one's a little controversial. But what I'm saying is that just because I've forgiven you, and yet it's still on my mind what was done to me, does not indicate that I have not forgiven you. It's just that that is an imprint on my heart that's there. And some people say, well, if I can't forget, then I haven't really forgiven. That's not true. I've forgiven as a choice of my will by the grace of God, but just because that comes up again, and especially, I mean, you know, we've all been through horrendous things. People have done horrendous things to us, and some even more severe than others, and it's not like, well, I'm supposed to forget that. But it does release you from the terror of that event. So in other words, it's still in the back of my memory, and here's kind of the way I view this, and many probably would disagree with me. It says it's as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. Now, here's what I believe that is referring to. That the punishment that was associated with that crime will never be brought up again. Right? It's not like God's going, I don't have any memory of that. I can't remember that. And in fact, I think that contradicts some of the things that it talks about, that we're going to go before the Lord and every deed that we've ever done is going to be brought before Him, whether good or bad. The good news is for those that are blood washed, it's all taken care of. And we can just rejoice every time, go, yep, forgiven, yep, forgiven, yep, forgiven. Right? So forgetting, it's like, don't ever get bogged down with the fact, well, I just can't seem to forgive that or forget that. That doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. Right? But just, you have to remind yourself when that comes up that I've turned that over to God and I'm not going to carry it anymore. Here's another thing that forgiveness is not. It's not pretending that we're not hurt. I forgive you, so it didn't really affect me. That's not true. I was deeply wounded. I was deeply hurt. But I'm asked the Lord not to hold that to your charge. With certain things that could happen, could we be restored? Yeah, we could be restored, but it might take some time. Right? What is forgiveness? It's being aware of an offense, but still forgiving that offense. It's choosing to keep no record of wrong, as it talks about, and that's because love doesn't keep any record of wrong. So in other words, and this is something that we fight, because the memory of us wants to go back and go, well, you remember when you did that? You remember? And, you know, it's just unfortunate, because women's brains are different than men's brains. They can remember everything that's ever happened, where men's, I don't remember, I don't know, I forgot. And women are going, you couldn't have forgot. Yeah, I did, I forgot. But the reality is that when that memory comes up, we don't deny that we have that memory, but we place the forgiveness to that memory as quick as it comes up so that it doesn't become a stumbling place in our heart. Does that make sense? Okay. Choosing to keep no record of wrong. And again, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I know it's done, and I'm sure I've done it, where you've forgiven somebody, you're going along for a while, and then they do something stupid again, right? And you go, well, you remember, right? You always do that. You remember, and you go back to every little thing, and it's like, no, forgiveness doesn't do that, right? Once it's off the books, it's not legal to bring it back up. Aren't you glad? Even as He forgave us, we're going to forgive others. He forgave us so that, like, if maybe you did something really terrible in your life, none of you here on Wednesday would have done that, but you've done something really terrible on your life, and the devil gets up in the courtroom of heaven, and you're up there, and he goes, back in 1984, here was the occurrence, and this was done, and what he's saying is absolutely true. And he's saying, this person needs to be punished for this action, and this should keep him out of the grace of God. But God says, wait a minute, let me look at my book. Oh yeah, that happened, but the blood has crossed it out. So it's no longer being held against them. See, so forgiveness is not keeping a record of that wrong, and it's not holding something against somebody. And you all know this, but walking in unforgiveness keeps you chained to the person that's offended you. Right? In other words, all the devil's got to do is poke you a little bit, and that whole irritation goes right back, and all of a sudden you're back in that state that you've been freed from, but he pulls you right back. Well, I don't want to give him any place. Forgiveness is refusing to punish. Forgiveness is refusing to punish. And you know how we can punish people? And I'm not talking about beating them up. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about giving them the eye. Right? I'm talking about, you know, letting them know that, yeah, I've forgiven you, but... Right? Forgiveness is refusing to punish. Now watch this. This is a tough one. Forgiveness is refusing to tell what they did. Why is that tough? Because if I'm hurt, I want to call you on the phone and tell you how right I was and how wrong they were. So forgiveness doesn't gossip. Forgiveness does not spread the word. And I've told you this story many times, but I'm going to tell it again right here. I remember one day when I was, you know, there was something that happened in the church, and there were stories being said that this happened, and pastor did this, and this happened, and blah, 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 going all over the place. And I thought, well, I'm going to get up on Sunday and just straighten it all out. I mean, I had the notes. I had the point-by-point notes of how I was right, they were wrong, and so on and so forth. And the Lord told me not to. But I said, but God, I need to straighten this out. This is a problem in the church. I need to straighten this out. And He gave me this vision, not a vision, but a mental picture. He said, imagine that you're in the summertime, and you're at this big camp, and there's a fire pit, and that fire pit is surrounded by stone and everything. So you can have a fire in the middle of that pit, but on the outside is dry grass, and so you don't want the fires out there. He said, if you're going to go try to justify yourself, what you're going to do is you're going to go try to stomp out those fires in the dry grass, and the moment you stomp it here, it's going to go over there and start. And then if you try to stop it here, it's going to go over there. And what he told me, he says, you just concentrate on this fire that's in the middle, and that's my relationship with you, and those fires on the outside will go out. See, to me, that's a picture of what forgiveness does. It's like, I won't justify myself because His justification is so much better. I need to forgive as He forgave. Forgiveness is being merciful. Being merciful. And again, if you just look at it this way and you just concentrate on it this way and go, look at God, I need a lot of mercy. Well, okay. He said, you reap what you sow. You'll get back the same measure that you mete out, right? In fact, look. Let's look at this. Go to Luke. Let's see. The Gospel of Luke and the 6th chapter. Luke 6. I'm thinking I'm getting the scripture right. Luke 6 and verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Now, I've heard this spoken, and it has some application in many offerings. You know, everybody's getting up to give money, you know, give, and we got this coming up, and we got this, and God, you know, blesses those who give all this, but this is what they use. They go, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now, that's great, and it can apply to giving money, but in the context of what he's saying, that's not what it's talking about. And go back to this. Verse 27, it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is to you? For even sinners lend to the sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good to the lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So the context of this is not money, but it's relationships. The context of this giving is giving mercy. The context of this is giving forgiveness. If you want forgiveness, you got to give forgiveness. If you want mercy, then you got to give mercy. And what's the thing about mercy? Mercy, I love this. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Mercy is us not getting what we do deserve. So I'm giving to somebody what they don't deserve because the love of God has been shed in my heart, and that's what I'm compelled to do. Does that make sense? So forgiveness is acting out of the love of God and being merciful. And the next thing that forgiveness is, it's gracious. It's graciousness. What does it mean to be gracious? It means to want to be able to give. And to give not because you're expecting anything, but just because you like to give. Air, I want you to have this. Well, I don't deserve that. That has nothing to do with anything. I want to give it to you, so just take it. So forgiveness is gracious. In other words, I'm going to forgive because I want to forgive. I don't want to. And think about this, and I've said this before, but if you really think about that, unforgiveness is saying, oh, God, just get them. You know, Lord, you know what they did to me? They deserve such and such and such and such. If you carry that out to the fullest extent, what you're saying is, Lord, I want them to feel the full wrath of the sin that was against them. So what you're really saying is, God, I want them excluded from heaven. Let me just go one step further. I want to see them in hell. I want to see them in the burning flames of hell, completely away from the presence of God, so that they can never have fellowship with Him. When you look at it that way, you go, oh, no, 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 no. I wouldn't want anybody to be in hell. I wouldn't want anybody to be outside of the presence of God. So I am going to absolutely be gracious with my forgiveness. It's not about whether they've earned it or not. It's about the fact that God has given me the right or the ability to give it. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Forgiveness is inner condition. It's an inner condition. In other words, an inner condition based on decisions that you've made, but also a habit that you've produced in your life. I heard one old boy said this. He said, every time I go to Home Depot, I forgive everybody in the store before I go in. Now that seems silly, doesn't it? But what he's saying is that offenses often happen for him in that store. So he was saying, before I even go in there, I'm going to forgive anybody that does anything offensive to me. whether it's a clerk, whether it's somebody else, or whether it's the person that's got three German shepherds, you know, not cleaning up after them. Whatever it is, in advance, I'm going to forgive them. Now just think if you lived your life like that, and you decided, he said to take no offense, so I'm going to decide right now, you can't offend me. You can't offend me. What are you doing? You're offering grace before it's even asked for. So it's an inner condition that you can come to by a choice or a decision of your will. Right? Now, so forgive, it's an inner condition. But again, it's not saying that you have an open door to come and, you know, walk over me anytime you like. That's not forgiveness. Sometimes you have to set boundaries up. But again, the punishment that goes with the offense that you've caused to me, I don't want that to be laid to your charge. And I'm making a decision of that right now in advance so that if you ever offend me or do anything, right, it's on me. I'm not going to allow that to be held against you. And sometimes we have to do that retroactive. We have to... Now this is really interesting, but I think that if we have a deep-seated memory or hurt that happened to us, isn't it crazy how the first few years of our lives can affect the rest of it? It's almost insane. You know, I'm, you know, 60 plus years old, right? I'm old, right? But watch this. I'm still affected by what some things that happened to me when I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. That if I let myself go back there, it can mess me up. So what I need to do is sometimes you need to take Jesus back with you in the memory. What do I mean? The memory comes up, you say, Jesus, you're aware. I know you're aware of what happened, but you're aware of the fact that this happened to me and what effect it has on me. Lord, you've forgiven me of everything and I forgive them, but you're the healer of the brokenhearted. Would you help me with this and deliver me from the pain that was caused by somebody who was obviously affected by the devil? Right? So it's an inner condition. It's a heart condition, forgiveness is. Now, here's a big one. Forgiveness is the absence of bitterness. Bitterness. It's the absence of bitterness. Have you ever tasted something that's really bitter? You know, you just couldn't hardly stand it. Just get it out of my mouth. You know, give me some water because I don't want that bitterness. Well, an offense that's left to rot because of unforgiveness becomes a seed of bitterness. And bitterness, again, doesn't affect the person that you're bitter about. It affects you. And it doesn't just affect you, it affects all those who are around you. Because you carry that bitterness everywhere you go, so it affects your kids, it affects your spouse, your grandkids, and it even affects generations afterwards unless it's dealt with. So forgiveness has no bitterness attached to it. Now here's a couple that might throw you a little bit, but I want you to think about. You have to forgive everyone. You have to forgive everyone. Forgive just as he forgave you. One of the toughest ones to forgive sometimes is you. You. I deal with this all the time, and it comes out like this. Well, Lord, you know, I could have done this better. Or, Lord, I could have done that better. Or, Lord, I should have done this. Or, Lord, I could have done this. Or Lord, if I was really, a good husband, a good wife, a good pastor, a good mother, whatever, then this wouldn't have happened and this wouldn't have happened. And this. See, that's all signs of unforgiveness toward yourself. I'm not saying that we need to make excuses for ourselves and that we do need to deal with some of the things that we go through if we make a mistake. But once we've gone to God and talked about it and got it forgiven, we need to forgive ourselves so that we can stand up and go from where we are rather than stay with where we were. So sometimes it's hard, but we have to be at the place where we forgive ourselves. And I love the scripture. I've used it many times over myself when thoughts of failure or that I'm not good enough and all of those things come up. I go back to the scripture in Romans chapter 8 where it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." I'm in Christ Jesus, therefore I refuse to be condemned by you, by the devil, or by myself. I refuse it. And part of doing that is forgiving yourself. I've had failures in my life just like you have. And the enemy will try to use those and keep you in a place of non-forgiveness toward yourself so that you can't go forward with what God has for you. How many know you're redeemed? How many know that when Jesus came into your life, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, the enemy wants to tell you that that's a lie. And because you did this when you were 20, or you did this when you were 30, or when you did this when you were 40, I'll stop there. But when you did that, right, back then, that you're not qualified now to be used by God because of what you did then, and you go, yeah, that's right. God loves me, and I may go to heaven, but I'm disqualified because you refuse to apply the blood completely to yourself. So one of the things forgiveness is forgiving yourself. Now this one seems really kind of strange and a little bit odd. But I've worked with enough people that I know it's true. Forgiveness is forgiving God. Forgiveness is forgiving God. What do I mean by that? There are many people who've been either believing God or they prayed about something and whatever they prayed about didn't turn out the way that they thought it should turn out. And so they get mad at God. And I'm not saying this, it's never okay to get mad at God. It's kind of pointless, but God understands our emotions, right? But if we can't get past that offense that we have toward God, it'll push us away from God rather than to God. So, in other words, we have to walk in a state of forgiving even when we don't understand what's going on or even understand what God could have done, what we think He should have done, whatever, we have to be able to be in a place where we say, God, my brain and my pay grade is not high enough to where I have to figure all of these things out. Well, let me just say it this way. I have buried a lot of my prayers. And the older I get, the more I've buried. Friends who passed away. I've got a friend right now, he's dying right now. You know, he won't be with us. Outside of a miracle from God, I still believe you, God. But I refuse to blame God if it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen. Does that make sense? Right? God, how come you didn't do something about this? And how come you didn't straighten that out? Well, it's not always that simple, and we don't always see the big picture. It's like the woman who prayed for her husband for years and years to be saved, and as far as she knows, he never got saved. God, why didn't you save my husband? And if we looked at the big picture, God would have showed again where he brought labor after labor after labor after labor after labor, and he didn't take the husband's free will away from him, so the husband over and over and over and over again chose not to accept. Right? So it's not that God didn't, it's that God's laws can't be violated. So, first of all, I'm not in a position where I can just think about how arrogant this is. Now, God, you and I need to have a talk. You and I both know this is the way this was supposed to happen. You didn't do it. What's wrong with you? Right? I mean, but sometimes that's our heart attitude. And we've got to walk, God, I don't understand that. There's a scripture that says, the secret things belong to the Lord. In other words, the things that I don't understand, God, I'm just going to give to you. There have been times where I've been discouraged when I prayed for somebody and preached to them about faith and how to be healed and all of that. And at the end of the day, they died. And it's like, Lord, why? Why? See, His Word doesn't change and His Word is still true. But it's not up to me to figure out what went wrong. I can ask God, and if He shows me, fine. But if He doesn't, I've got to be okay with that. And so forgiving God is an interesting one, but it's a valid one. So we've got to forgive ourselves, and we have to walk in forgiveness even toward God. It's so awesome of what God has done for us, but we need to walk in forgiveness toward others. And again, it's not the whole bitterness thing. There's a lady that I know, and I love her to pieces. But she's still holding on to offenses that happened many, many, many years ago. And her thought is, I just want to be right. I mean, I just can. And what she's asking for, really, what she wants, she'd like those people that offended her to come back to her and say, you know what, I was wrong. I've lived a little while. It's very rare for people to do that. I've had it happen a few times. But most people don't think they were wrong. Or it didn't affect them as much as it did you, so they've gone past it. They wouldn't even think about coming and asking. So you're still bound by bitterness of something that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago when walking in forgiveness releases you from it and says, God, that's between you and them. But true forgiveness comes back to the place where, God, it was wrong and it hurt. And I'm not denying it. I'm not overlooking it. I'm not saying that it wasn't something that affected me deeply. But I refuse to get bitter over it. And Lord, I refuse to be in a position where even in my heart, I want that held against them for eternity. So I release that to you. So again, we'll close, but go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church, and I know a few others in the room did too, where every time we came to church, we prayed this prayer. I mean, every time we were at church, this prayer was prayed, along with some others. But so we prayed, and we prayed in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It can be just rote, you know, or just something, I know. But as I've tried to outline tonight, it has many great ramifications on our present and our future. So when Jesus put this in there, it wasn't so that we would do, well, it was so that we do the right thing, but it wasn't just for that. It was because this is the best thing for us, and this affects our relationship with the Father, and it affects the relationship that we have with one another. And we can't truly love one another if we're walking constantly in unforgiveness. So God, help us with that. Help us, Lord. Forgive our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, right now, as we're closing up, and I mean this for myself, and Lord, I pray that everybody that's listening to me will talk to you from their heart in the same way. anybody that's ever done anything to me that has offended me, hurt me, I forgive them. I ask you, Lord, not to lay one thing to their charge. I don't want them to be punished. I don't want their lives to be hurt in any way. Father, I ask for mercy over them. I ask for you to love them. I put the judging thing aside, Lord, and I put all my confidence in the fact that you're the one who justifies, you're the one who judges, you're the one who knows the truth. So I trust you in this. So, Lord, forgive all of those who've ever offended me. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, I ask you again, anything that I've done offensive to you, forgive me. For I only want you to feel honored and loved by me. So I release myself to you tonight, fresh and new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight and being with us in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, tonight's your night. Just lay aside everything else and say, I need God, and so I'm going to live for Him the rest of my life. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. You'll be with Him. So just do that tonight. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.